Islam, registered members of the Nation of Islam, and we support the Nation of Islam still. But when the minister was here in 2010, he asked our brother Jihad Amos Muhammad to help him build a mosque on the outside.
Mm.
And we wonder what that looked like. So I definitely want him to explain what that looked like, and as we endeavor on that journey to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan accomplish that goal around the country. Because we're not only based here in Tampa, Florida. We're in Atlanta, Richmond, California, Chicago. So I let my brother Jihad go deeper into that.
Please, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you again, Brother Richard. I want to thank Almighty God for Brother Richard Muhammad and Brother Idris Muhammad. He was on a few details with us as well. I think we went to Atlanta.
Yes.
And Detroit.
Yes.
And I thank God for Brother Richard, because when the minister said that to me, he pointed in my chest. He said, "You are a natural leader." And then he said, "I want you to help me." And he looked at the brothers in the BYC and he said, "I want y'all to help him help me." And then he said, "Don't worry about money. Don't chase money." And that have been one of the major things that's been crumbling us or crippling us as a people, you know, chasing money.
Yes.
Again, I mentioned earlier, I didn't know how to read till I was 16 years old, till somebody sat down and disturbed my timeline in my mind, you know, and taught me how to read. And it wasn't just him teaching me how to read. It was the love that he was expressing to me. He was interested in me instead of trying to be interesting to me. You see, and that's the problem, where we try to be interesting to the people instead of interested in the people, you know.
Wow.
But
good
this
point.
Brother.
Very good point.
Yes. This brother, Brother Richard Muhammad, he have been able by the grace of Almighty God Allah to establish, to begin to establish that mosque, physical mosque on the outside. A mosque is a place of worship, but it's also a place of self-improvement, self-development, you know. And this brother have been doing great works in the community of Sulphur Springs. You know, that's a rough neighborhood as well.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, and he'll go into that as to what he's doing with that building and the departments in that building, in which tomorrow he'll go into that about the event. But I want to say this. I mentioned earlier about Robus Park. Just recently, and I'll fall back, just recently, we had some young brothers that go out on behalf of BYC, standing between the gang and the gun, and they got caught up in the crossfire of a drive-by shooting, wherein one of the brothers got shot, and he died four times on the table, trying to, they're reviving him, trying to do something good in the community. The first brother, Anthony Lewis, who is not a registered member in the Nation of Islam, really don't claim no religion, but he called on the name of Allah. He recognized the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He respect the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And he said, "You know what? I'm not Muslim, but I want to help because I see what you're doing in the community." And he's a blood, you know, from the blood gang. So he understood that the blood gang started out something positive, brotherly love. Right. Overriding, you know, the destruction that's destroying us, right?
Right? Right.
So this brother got shot four times and not active in the gang activity, you know, but he got shot four times. He was the first one that got hit four times. And by him being a military man, being in the Marines, he was able to coach those who panicked around him how to keep him alive.
While being shot.
While being shot.
Wow.
And he said to the other ones, "Take them. I'm a be all right. Take them and do this." He was coaching them how to assist the other brothers. It was three that got shot that night. He got shot four times. One got shot one time, who died four times on the table. And the other ones got shot, I think, two or three times.
Yes.
And his bullets went in and out. But all in the spirit of trying to do something positive in a community that have been set upon by another community.
Yes.
You see? And we don't understand. I mentioned earlier again that I was in prison. Out of all of the 9.5 years I did in prison, and this is no disrespect to no ethnic group, but I've never met one Chinese. I never met one Korean. I never met too many of those from other ethnic groups, their children. I met a lot of poor whites, a lot of poor Latinos, a lot of poor blacks. And you'll see a sprinkle of Arabs and maybe Jews or whatever, but you don't see them like you see us right. in the penitentiary. The question is, why you don't see this? They have sex like we have. Koreans are promiscuous like we are. Many of us are. But they have a lot of businesses in your community. But why their children are not subjected to the same vices that we have been subjected to? What do they know that we don't know? What is securing them that's not securing us? See? And we don't go and witness when our children are being arrested. We don't stand a certain reasonable distance while the law enforcement carrying out their duty and follow them down to the jailhouse and making sure they don't stop on the side of the road and murder some of these children, you know?
You know, one of the things to keep in mind, you can't ignore. You can't ignore that.
That's right.
We've had that discussion many times, right, guys? Because we've talked about, I've spoken to my friends who are Jewish and actually talked about the fact that up until about middle school or high school, you don't see Jewish kids. Because typically there are cultural schools that are prepared for them until that time period.
That's right.
Right? And I found it very odd. And as a matter of fact, let me go back. I didn't find this part right here odd. But then I found out about the Chinese schools,
mm-hmm.
right?
Wow.
That are geared towards preparing Chinese children, and then let them out into the public school system. Now, this doesn't happen for everybody.
That's right.
But it does happen for many. And I've always wondered whether that was one of the reasons why we didn't see that type of occurrence in the prison system. And I also found it very odd that every time that we, black folks, ever thought about doing something like that or said something like that, then it was a problem.
It was a problem.
But it's never a problem for anybody else. I always wondered, you know, why it was fine for everybody else, but it was not okay for us.
Because we've been socially engineered not to want to do for self.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
If the person leading us looks like us, there's something ingrained in us. Now, we can pretend that that's not so.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can pretend, but I'm almost 50. So it's in my generational time.
Right.
Is there anyone who is here who is older or younger who can say that every time we try to unify, it seems something within, not without, pushes us to the fray so that we don't come together? See, we have been trying to unify on everything. Religion, philosophy, ancient African teachings, Islam, what you would call the orthodox teachings of the Hebrew Israelites. Panthers, right?
That's right.
But do you know the problem with that is? Each individual feels they'll lose their identity.
Mm-hmm.
So what I propose now is, why don't we unify on our birthday suits? Since it is the birthday suit that you're in, that most likely is going to cause you harm if you are to engage local authorities.
Yeah, you know, just be clear to everybody. I'm about to make a joke, guys.
Mm-hmm.
you're not telling everybody to unify naked, are you?
Well stated. Thanks for the clarification, brother. Showing you all my teeth right now. Yes. No. On the fact that you would ethnically look like a black person, whether you call yourself a Dominican, whether you call yourself a Cuban, whether you call yourself a Puerto Rican, whether you call yourself a Guyan, where you call yourself a Panamanian.
No matter where you're
when
from.
When you are engaged, the first thing they look at is how you look. So since that seems to bring us all the problems, why don't we do this? Why don't we unify and set up an economic situation for ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's been laid for 20 years, let each individual group and their religious philosophy, we can have the religion Olympics at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But no dessert before dinner. Let's lay down the economic foundation that we all can benefit on, regardless if we believe in whatever God or don't believe in any God at all.
That's right.
Something to think about.
Definitely, definitely. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, brothers, for coming in. I want to thank you for this discussion. And I want everybody, once again, please tell everybody the name of the organization.
The organization is BYC, Building Your Community / Masjid Al Nasser.
Okay, all right. And how can people find out more about the organization?
Yes, sir. As I stated at the beginning, I'm the chief of staff. And if they want to learn more about the organization, they can definitely reach me at 813-406-1047. And I would like to invite the listening audience out to our Holy Day of Atonement webcast that we'll be showing at 905 East Skagway, Tampa, Florida, today. The doors open at 2. That's the Holy Day of Atonement that Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be speaking. And I think the listening audience, if they come out, they'll get something from it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. All right. And give us that address again and the time.
Yes. The doors open at 2. The address is 905 East Skagway Avenue, Tampa, Florida, area code 33604. And we also be showing it at 5508 mm-hmm. East 50th Street, the Tampa
simultaneous. That's what I'm talking about.
So we in unity with our brothers, like I said, that's from right. the beginning, that absolutely. We are all FOI, the fruit of Islam. Right. And there's no division there.
None.
So we just offer an alternative for people that might think they're too religious to go to a Nation of Islam meeting. So that being said, before we close out, we can hear from each brother and go for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm
absolutely.
Glad brother mentioned that. And I want to, if there's a such thing as a shout out.
Yeah, a shout out. Go right ahead. Shout out.
I want to give a shout out to our brothers in the Tampa Bay Study Group. I don't know the address right offhand, but
it's 5508 50th Street.
50th Street. And I think the student coordinator is Brother Chad Muhammad.
That's right.
Yes.
And
yes.
The student captain is Brother Daniel.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad. Yes, sir. And we want to give a shout out to them. And if you're in that area and they're closer to you, please go there. But just know that you more than welcome. We hitting you from every angle, you know.
And by the way, I just want to point out the fact that I want to point out the fact, first of all, WMNF 80.5 Tampa. I want to point out the fact that 905 Skagway mm-hmm. is in Sulphur Springs.
That's right.
So that
everybody understands, we know what we talk about here on the Sunday Forum.
Yes,
when I tell you, I know know from whence you come.
Go ahead, brother.
Right. So when you talk about being in the community that needs you, when you talk about community building and building something in the community that needs you. That is a community that needs you and needs you badly.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Needs
Definitely.
You badly. Self-sufficiency, growth, building a nation. We need that. Please, brother.
We want to again thank you for having us here. We appreciate any time we can be on these airwaves. Someone may have heard something today that could spark a desire for change that they may not have had if you didn't invite us here. So thank you.
No problem.
And the Absolutely. Last thing I want to remind everyone is that we have a free community health clinic. That's going to be at Masjid Al Nasser at 905 East Skagway. Mm-hmm. And it will be held on the 26th of this month from 9 a.m. until noon. There'll be free services of blood sugar testing, diabetes education, blood pressure screening, BMI testing, weight loss counseling, and physician counseling. So we don't want the community to miss out on that opportunity. One more time, free community health clinic. Is going to be at Masjid Al Nasser. That's 905 East Skagway Avenue, Tampa, 33604, on the 26th of this month from 9 a.m. until 12 p.m. And lastly, the services that will be offered is blood sugar testing, diabetes education, blood pressure screening, BMI testing, weight loss counseling, and physician counseling. Come on out, family.
All right. Yes, hey, sir. Van, I'm so glad to have you brothers here and to hear what you're talking about. You know, you can't beat it. You can't beat
yes,
it.
That's right.
And so I thank you very much. This is positive information.
Thank you.
And
thank
I'm
you
glad so much. To hear this positive information. Yes, okay. You keep on keeping on. You come back.
Yes, sir.
And
definitely.
You give us an update. Tell us how we can help you mm-hmm. do what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Understand?
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. And thank you so much, brothers.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. Hey, listen, folks, we're going to come. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on the Sunday Forum. This is Walter L. Smith II. You have just heard about building your community right here, BYC, right here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa on the Sunday Forum. We'll be right back. We're going to go out to one of my favorites here, Roy Ayers, in Searching.
You see my fear, I need someone who feels a need. Walter L. Smith II from WMNF's Sunday Forum. Join us as we present the film, What is Democracy? What is Democracy? Raises critical questions and challenges our establishment and notions of democracy and freedom. The film highlights some of the greatest political thinkers of our time, including Angela Davis and Cornel West. Thursday, October 24th, 7 p.m. at WMNF Studios. For more information, call 813-238-8001 or go to WMNF.org.
Tuned to Sunday Morning Public Affairs. This is Sunday Forum with Walter Smith II and the Fourth Estate crew. Keep tuned. We realize fall is a time of year when a lot is happening. It was busy for us here during the fun drive here at WMNF's Pledge Drive. Thanks to all who donated. But if we didn't fit into your tight schedule yet, it's not too late to give. Please call 813-238-8001 weekdays. Give you through WMNF.org or the app, or call us in the studio right here at 813-239-9663. Or you can go to WMNF.org at any time, search for the Sunday Forum. Then you can take one thing off your list and enjoy your radio home right here at WMNF. Thank you.
This is Walter L. Smith II and the members of the Fourth Estate crew right here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa, coming to you live on the Facebook page. Check us out there live. We are back live, properly live, because we got Gotti. What's going on, baby? Larry.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's always a pleasure to be here.
My man. Hey, man, we're glad to have you back, brother.
Yeah, me too. I'm very happy to be here today.
All right.
You know, so it's always a pleasure, like I said, to be here on the mic every Sunday, Sunday Forum. It's always a pleasure to me to be here.
Hey, man, listen, bro. And you come the farthest from us, of all of us, to get here, man. This guy comes here every Sunday, man, from Orlando, brother.
Yeah.
Orlando, 100 miles. 100 miles of running, baby.
That's dedication. Exactly.
Hey, man, we got all the right sayings for this show, bro, I tell you. So you know, we're talking about, and by the way, folks, that was Moonchild, the Sounds of Moonchild, one of our newer neo soul groups out of California. But let me tell you, they're really good, man. You listen to that sound, silky smooth sound. It sounds, when I first heard it, I thought I was listening to one of the other songs. I thought I was listening to Erykah Badu at first. It's the second song I heard from them. I thought I was hearing Jill Scott. And then, and I thought maybe she was collaborating with somebody. Then I looked up, and I see this white woman with red hair, and these two white dudes. I was like, okay, all right, get it. They were really good. They're really, really good. And you know, there are a lot of great groups out there that people have not seen yet or heard yet. Yeah. And on this show, we're going to actually make an effort to start playing more of that music for our breaks and so forth, and even have special shows where you can hear and learn who those groups are and tune into them, especially local groups.
I was going to say that. Especially local.
Especially local groups. We got a lot of talent here in Tampa. A lot of talent. Tampa should be a jazz
mecca.
We've
already bigged up one good one there, James Cole.
Oh, man. JC.
That summer hit.
Right?
Yeah.
California girl. Hey, shout out to JC. JC, my man. He's in college right now, up in Tennessee.
Oh, all right.
Up in Tennessee. Real proud of him and what he's doing. He's doing really well. And we, as a matter of fact, we're going to get him in the studio for us and have him come play for us when he gets back.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. And they're going to keep sending us the hits. I keep saying hits because all of his songs are hits. He's doing really well in Australia. Strangely enough, Australia. When I heard that the first time, I was like, wait, what? Australia? They're really digging him in the UK and Australia.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
You go do some concerts over in Australia.
Yeah, out of Blake High School, James Cole. Hey, all right, so listen, folks, let's get down to it. Let's talk about this. We just had the Brothers from the Nation of Islam talk about building your community, right? BYC. And I can't help but being able to use as a segue into the film that we're going to be showing on the 24th of this month at 7 o'clock right here, at 6 o'clock right here at WMNF Studios, right here, okay? The admission is $7, and we hope that you will come. We know that you will come out because there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to talk about. We want to hear from each and every one of you about these issues, and especially when you talk about the definition of democracy. What is democracy?
The film is fascinating.
It is absolutely fascinating.
Keeps you engaged and some wonderful people and Cornel West, absolutely. Angela Davis are very, very, very clear in what they're saying.
Absolutely. So the film starts dealing with the ancient philosophies. Of the concept of democracy, In mainstream history, and you see the air quotes going, democracy was established, I mean verbally defined, right, in the Greek society, right? And as we look at Plato's definition of it, and we look at the definition as we see it now, a system of government where the population itself and all the eligible members of state typically done through elected representatives. Mm-hmm. So a state governed by democracy, control of organizational group by the majority members, right? Which means that the majority does what? Rules. Right?
Yeah, so they had
plumbers, mechanics, soldiers. They have all kinds of people playing a role in running the country.
Right.
And
right.
That was to them democracy.
Right. Right.
And it was
right.
until later the in Italy they corrupted it to capitalism, and now you had to have land and you had to be had to have money and, right. and justice. Right. Justice is depicted in this fascinating mural that shows the thinking of the time. Justice is depicted with a head, with a cut off head in her hands. So that's what they did to people that disagreed with, you know, that did not abide by the rule of law, but the rule of the rich, you know.
Right, and what they said democracy was, right?
Yeah.
And I always go back to that point of say what they said democracy
right.
was, or what their concept of democracy is. So for them, democracy, the people, right, would be those people in, you know, who are wealthy, who are landowners and so forth. And when we fast forward and we look to this country that we're, our United States, our own United States, and its founding, and who do we talk about? The founding fathers. Right?
The framers.
The framers of the Constitution. Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about, man. But no, you're right. You're absolutely right. The framers of the Constitution and the so-called founding fathers, the people who determined that we're going to write this Constitution, we're going to write these laws for white men who are landowners.
Right, which is, you know, the idea also was something that Plato and the Greeks were grappling with, dealing with, because even Plato or the Greeks, even though they defined democracy for the people, they had Athens oligarchy. They had Athens that really evil system that was set up first.
They themselves say the wealthy just want to become wealthier.
Right.
Back at that time.
Right. And so you know, this movie is probably going to, you know, list, it's going to itemize all of that they were itemizing then, which form will it take? Right. And so I think what they really wanted was to create an aristocracy and call it a democracy, right. which is the word republic, you know, because you wanted to protect from too much participation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the framers of the U.S. Constitution, that's what they were steeped in.
Too much participation and too much freedom.
Yeah, that's why it had to be landowners. You couldn't have everybody engaging and participating. You had to lock people out, including women, their own women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people who were enslaved.
They couldn't even own, women couldn't even own land.
No, and didn't have access. You just became serfs after their husbands died or something. So, I mean, you know, we had to make it more perfect as they made arrangements for that. And we're still making it more perfect. We just had a story yesterday, this past week, with a judge sending a young man who never had a record before to jail for oversleeping for jury duty. So that's a, you know, almost like Athens oligarchy, you know, that says, you know, we're gonna, if you don't participate, or even if you do participate, or you don't participate
the way we want you to,
yeah. you know, we could overreact. This judge, they're calling for this judge to be taken off the bench. You know, that's also democracy. Do we have any power
to take somebody off the bench like that?
You know, and then we have the Electoral College, which is the aristocracy writing into their constitution a way to keep
the popular
people from
vote means
so
nothing.
The popular vote doesn't always have the say.
Right.
That's your democracy.
That point is made by one of the college professors, a female college professor, in the film.
Oh, okay.
But sadly enough, this luminary, this fantastically intelligent woman, is saying, "Well, yeah, but democracy has to have some people in and some people out." And I said, "Oh, man,
you know, there's always some caveat, right?" It's always you waiting for, and you know, for us in this room right here, we have a history of waiting for that second boot to drop. You know what I mean? We wait for this, like, oh,
and
man,
we're the head waiters in line.
Well, hold on. Okay, so now the game is this right here. We won this round, but let's wait for the boot to drop, right? We saw that, and we see this with regards to rights restoration. And folks,
right.
As you listen to this show, we're talking about how democracy has eroded here. You may not think that democracy is eroded in this country at all, but you know, many of us, if not the majority of us, could actually say and point and actually pinpoint to instances throughout history up until right now where democracy has in fact eroded.
Yeah, or it hasn't really existed. It has
There's all variations of it, somebody's viewpoints of how it's
like a taste for some, a taste of it for some, and maybe not so vicious as in the rest of the world, but, you know, nevertheless.
Our job to make it more perfect, right? It's our job.
To make a more perfect union.
Yeah. Hey, folks, call us in. And tell us about it.
Yeah, call us, tell us about it. 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. Just let's talk about it. So you talk about the situation with the judge. Right?
Yeah.
And you talk about
Judge John Castronakis.
Was that was his name?
Yeah. So he's Palm Beach County Circuit Judge.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He said
this guy, DeAndre Somerville, 21-year-old DeAndre, to 1 year probation and 150 hours of community service after the August 21st incident of him. The judge said he should be disciplined after sentencing this man who overslept and skipped jury service. He wanted to put him in jail for 10 days. 10 days in jail for that. You know, this is a judge who overplays his hand. You know, so we have in this so-called republic democracy, we have three divisions of power, and the judiciary is one, and it can oftentimes abuse its power as well. And, you know, the only people we just can hope that the president who appoints judges, circuit judges, you know, and Supreme Court judges are not corrupt themselves.
The president or the governors, whoever they
are. The governors, right? You know. And this president and this governor are in cahoots. And, you know, they oftentimes lean on the justice system. You see what the president is doing is trying not to answer subpoenas, and the system doesn't know what to do when a president, a White House, doesn't allow people to answer subpoenas. You know, this is something that a judiciary, a court, says that you have to respond to. If you and I don't respond to it, you know, we could go to jail, just like this juror did. He just overslept. So there are a lot of places for this this system to lock people out. And if you are locked up, then that locks you out of a lot of economic opportunities in this system.
Absolutely, absolutely. Interesting that you can see the parallels with each generation, right? So constitutionally, when the framers were doing it, it was to make sure that they would be able to keep their power, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no matter how we put it, no matter how we look at it, that's what it was. It was to make. It was they wrote it to ensure that no matter what happened, you know, they maintained their power.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then fast forward, we look at Native Americans, we look at in honor of the fact that of Native Americans. Do we have Native American Indigenous Day?
At least D.C. has a Saturday.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
It's not going to be Columbus Day. It's going to be Indigenous.
Columbus Day, man. I'm trying to tell you, bro. You can't do that. So, but no, we talk about this issue of control. With each generation, there has been a control factor that is placed on Indigenous or poor or certain racial groups in order to make certain that that a European control is remains, right?
White supremacist, yeah.
Yeah, a white supremacist control even in Europe by using the term European. Yes, in fact, in Europe they do the same thing, right? Then, of course, you look even on our own continent of Africa. We see the same thing, whether you're talking about colonial powers or even the subsequent powers for independence. Once independent,
yeah. All over
civil
the world.
War. Yeah, all over the world, you yeah. see it. And so the question of democracy is not something that's just something that's solely relegated to us in America. But also the question of democracy also extends out to the rest of the world. Are the people involved in the control factors or what is happening in the country and as a matter of rule of law? What happens? What does it look like then? What does real democracy really look like? Yeah. What does it really look like? You know, are we talking about a utopia at that point?
Yeah, does it exist?
Right. Right. We got a call on the line. Let's call it. Hey, listen. And if you want to call, please do. We want to hear from you because we want to see you here on the 24th, on that Thursday, the 24th. We want to see you here. 813-239-9663. Caller.
This is Mike from Winter Haven.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? Welcome to the Sunday Forum.
That's my fault.
Hey, Mike.
I'm here. Yeah, I have two comments. The reason the gentleman went to jail for not showing up at court is because he was in contempt. And that's just a court order. That happens. Doesn't matter who you are. If you're in contempt, you get jail time.
Secondly, not automatic.
Secondly, your comment about the popular vote. The reason the framers have the popular vote is because, don't have the popular vote is because New York, Florida, Texas, California would be choosing our president. So Delaware, Maryland, smaller states would have no say in who the president is that gets elected. That's the reason we have, we don't go by popular vote. We have the Electoral College. So.
Right. No, we understand that part. We understand that point. But, you know, the question still remains. There have been some unfair decisions that have been made because of the Electoral College. And when people look at the electoral, he's gone. Okay, that's all right.
Too much
static in the background? Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. But, you know, what we cannot deny is the fact that we've looked at in more recent times presidential elections that really would have had a very different outcome.
Yeah. Also don't have to make it a winner takes all per state, you know?
Right.
Right. You know, but what he said is an anachronism. I mean, Utah is a small state, but every election, presidential election, happens state by state. It happens in all 50 states. Mm-hmm. If the candidate ignores a state, that still happens. Even on the Electoral College, states get ignored. If you are seen by, for instance, the Democrats down in South Florida somewhere had a convention, not one candidate showed up. Mm-hmm. And this is a primary, so what would be the point? But even in the general election, it still does not have to mean you're going to not count votes, popular votes, because Utah is a small state, and candidates don't have to come to Utah or compete in Utah. Certainly they do. They have to show, they have to get votes, electoral votes in the early states, in the early months.
Right.
So it's going to count.
Right.
It's an anachronism that was meant to keep slave states powerful.
Exactly.
End of story, full stop.
And any textbook will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had to try to figure out, okay, how are we going to give more representative power to these states? If we're going to do this, we got to give some representative power to these states. So let's give them as much as we can. Well, we're going to have to give the Negroes some, which is what they called it back then. Give them some population.
Right.
You know, they made them part of the population. You know, and so that's when we get this.
Which is why in the 60s they did everything they could to keep the Negroes from voting. And
right.
If you can suppress the Negro, quote unquote, vote, that's how you ended up with a 45.
Exactly.
Because black people stayed home.
Exactly.
Decided that we're going to buy.
We're not going to get killed or beat up and hung and all this other stuff.
And we're not going to go vote for Hillary, so let's just stay home.
Right.
And that's how you ended up with 45.
But Mike, in all fairness, what you said was very true in terms of the textbook reason as to why those things happen. There's always going to be a textbook reason as to why things happen. But the textbook reason isn't always the actual reason. And reality of it is that we've seen historically where that is just not the case.
No longer needed.
No longer. Yes, it's archaic. It's actually antiquated. Archaic sounds barbaric, but it is antiquated. It is antiquated. We're gonna take a break and come right back, folks. Call in 813-239-9663. We're gonna listen to my main man T.S. Monk and Bon 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 V. Do do do. That was the sound of T.S. Monk and Bon 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 V. Glad to have it here on the Sunday Forum here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. We are talking about this issue of democracy and whether it's been eroded in our country or anywhere else in the world. What is democracy? Guys, we talked about that. And we talked about the fact, you know, of at its core, it means, you know, majority rules. What is the majority?
Yeah, and it also should also include minority protections.
Right. What is a majority? I think as we talked about this last in the last segment, we talk about the fact that people who were excluded from the majority, right? So people are people. People are supposed to be people, right? The population is supposed to be the population. If you live there, you should have representation, right? Mm-hmm. You should have representation in government.
Yeah.
And so that at its core basically is democracy, is their participation in the electoral process or choosing or deciding what's going to happen to you, with you, with the people around you, the country, the nation where you are, it helps to build the nation itself.
Does it help? Doesn't it help democracy? The more participation there is, I mean, and if we, like I often mention, the fact that Florida voters decided to allow voting felons to have their voting rights restored, and immediately the ruling class was in high gear trying to figure out how to diminish that.
Mm.
So who benefits when fewer people participate? And why? You have to look at what games are people playing. Who is the one that's trying to keep people from participating? And ask yourself, how does that benefit the Florida governor to keep people from benefiting? Because he knows in his heart of hearts that ex-felons are not going to vote for his party.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, that's how it goes. That's how it goes, right? I mean, I think they're expecting us to say that's how it goes,
right? That's just leave it alone.
Not say anything about it. Leave it alone. You know, it's just been going on like this forever. So that's how it goes. Anyway, same thing with the Electoral College. Same thing in any other country. But then in other countries, you look at we were just talking about South Africa during the break. For those of you who were not watching us, you didn't hear us, but those who were watching us, you did hear us discuss the issue of what happens in other countries, right? And so, and please join us here on the Sunday Forum Facebook. We have about 10 more minutes left in the segment and in the show. But when we talked about it during the break, we talked about different countries. We talked about Italy. We talked about South Africa. We talked about other countries and Venezuela, right? Who has the better democracy, right? And so Venezuela, as Alvaro was pointing out, Venezuela is said to have one of the best democracies anywhere.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter, the ex-president, called it the best electoral system in the world.
And that was because what?
You can go back and check your vote. You know, many times in this country, people vote and there's a big to-do about how people may have voted or voter suppression and all that. They have a safety for all that, you know, and then you have also a paper trail that you can check.
Okay, so now we have supervisor of elections, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why you do that? But we have supervisor of elections, right? And so with supervisor of elections, we're supposed to have checks and balances in place for that as well, right? And so we keep trying to improve upon the system of voting where we are, locally, city, county, statewide, then nationally. You know, there's supposed to be this protection, right? Historically, we have seen where that has eroded consistently. We've seen people being killed, not just in the United States, but historically, famously or infamously in the Republic of South Africa. I mean, they would raid townships for that purpose of making certain that the black population did not go out and vote. And that there was no voter education. They had the Bantu Education Act, which suppressed education through medium of learning by Afrikaans as opposed to English. And if, in fact, you tried to learn it, they raided and they killed people, if that's what it took to suppress that. We've seen in Brazil where things have happened. They've shot people down in the streets. Hell, they just shoot the person who's running for office.
Right.
And that's it. They just assassinate the person running for office, and that's it, right? In India, Pakistan,
mm-hmm.
You know, they shoot and kill. We saw Benazir Bhutto.
Right.
5 years ago? I think she's been gone from us 5 years now.
Yeah.
You know, dead. Gone.
It's power struggle.
Yeah. The popular vote was wiped out. You know, South America is very popular for that type of thing. So they don't play around with trying to suppress the populations of death squads. They just go out and kill the person that's running.
Mm-hmm.
Eliminate you all together.
In Russia, they just, you know, they'll poison you. Or
you disappear.
They tell you you can't run. Like Navalny, he's been leading protests in Russia. He's just been told you can't run. Point in the story, point blank.
How does that work, right?
Yeah. So, I mean,
how does that work?
It's all about limiting participation. And for the ruling classes, that seems like always they're that's
the answer.
That's what they try to do. They try to figure out a way to limit participation. I mean, when the United States said that states in the South could not participate in poll taxes and could not participate in tests at the polls to keep people from voting, then they were looking for other means and other routes. You know, sometimes pricing people out of running. You know?
I read this one thing that made me. It was ridiculous. I've read things actually that make me like this literally sick. Literally sick. But I read this one thing that it was so absurd that I laughed like in delirium. Okay, so there's a story that takes place in Alabama where this guy goes in and black gentleman goes in and he is going to go vote. And they said, N-word, because we can't say that on the air, of course, or anywhere else for that matter, but N-word, you know, what you here for? Well, sir, I'm here to vote. All right. Well, before you can vote, you got to do a literacy test. All right, sir. So he actually gives him the actual Odyssey.
The Odyssey.
Okay. To read. Okay, no, not in English, in Greek.
No, so he set him up for failure.
In Greek, so every possibility of this man, come on, man.
Right, cultural, he was using this.
Come on, man, how do you do that? You know, that was like, I was so taken back by that. Wait, really, is it really that serious? Do you not want somebody to vote that badly that you do that?
Right. I mean, Ocoee, Florida in the 1920s, two African-American men went to vote and it set off a white riot. And they ended up burning down Ocoee, Florida.
Man, that's crazy. Let's get these phone calls, man. we have Kato. Kato, what's up, man?
Let me get Kato on the air. Kato, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we're trying not to. What's going on, man?
Stuck with that, buddy.
Hey.
man, I'm just tuning into the show. I just left church, so hello, Sunday Forum.
Hey, brother. Hey.
Hello, Fourth Estate.
How you doing?
I did just want to hit on something real quick, and I apologize. This isn't the primary topic today. But as I was getting out of church, I was just reading about the young lady. I believe her name was Antonia, if I'm correct, who was just shot and killed in the last couple of days by law enforcement in her own house, in her own home.
Hey, man, are you the radio or something? Is the radio on?
No, it's not. I've got a terrible phone today. I don't have Walter money yet, so.
Whatever, man. Whatever, dude. Whatever, dude.
Buy a good phone. But could you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you. We only have a few minutes, man.
Yeah. So anyway, I was encouraging, being on Sunday and me just coming from church, I'm encouraging especially my Caucasian brothers and sisters who go to church, you know, to cry out for justice, you know, for those of us of brown and darker skin, just like they cry out for justice, you know, those in Egypt, South Africa, Sudan, and other places that are far, far away. You know, we have these things in our backyard that we can go down and call our local congressmen, you know, and demand an end to injustice right here in our backyard.
Thank you, KJ. That's just
that's a bad connection. But yeah, we hear you, man, and you're right about that. Post it online, folks. Listen, we're out of time, actually. So I want to thank everybody for joining us. DeAndre, from a view, I can't take your call, unfortunately, man, because we only have a few seconds left. But I do want to thank everybody for joining us today on this discussion of how democracy, or if democracy, we feel democracy has been eroded in this country. We want to hear from you, but we want to hear from you on the 24th. Of October, the 24th of October, right here at WMNF Studios at 1210 East Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, $7 admission. Come check out the film screening of What is Democracy? As we discuss these issues, we want to talk to